The following episode of Footy Prime the Podcast contains violence, coarse language, talking of shite, full frontal nudity, and adult scenes. Listener discretion is advised.
BetMGM, the place for soccer in Canada, presents Footy Prime.
Oh, let's go!
Footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. It's the footy, footy, it's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your drinking JC. All we know and all we talk about is footy, footy. It's time to get this party started tonight.
You want to talk about hats and t-shirts or about that match last night?
Let's talk about the match.
Yeah, let's talk about the match. Let me remind myself, because I can't remember a damn thing about it right now. It's early. Where are my notes?
It was our opening. How about with our opening first?
Oh, let's do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Footy Prime. Hang on. What is wrong with my computer? Here we go. Okay. Oh, no, it's not.
Your name is Sharms.
Yeah, my name's Sharms. Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM.
The place for soccer
in Canada.
Make it legendary.
Make it legendary. All right. Now let's try. How about that? It was raining really hard last night, and we're all really nervous. Would this team get through unscathed? It appears they have. Although there was some concern about Moyes Bembido, wasn't there?
Yeah.
We were all a little bit nervous, but I mean, I think it was obviously overblown. When you come back and you play your first match in how many months? Putting ice on a leg is pretty normal from the medical staff. And a little limp is also pretty normal. Jesse Marsh addressed it afterwards, said, nah, it's fine. A little knock, he's fine. Should be available on the Ireland game. Moyes Bembido told Machinetti, yeah, it's fine. You know, hurts a bit, but I'm good. So, that aside, Moyes looked rusty.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you guys were very harsh on him on the dark web at halftime. But you guys know a lot more about football and how players look than I do. So, Dubs, assess. Let's start with Moyes. Assess Moyes' 30 minutes.
Yeah, I think rusty is the perfect word. He looked out of rhythm, out of form, again, to be expected. So maybe we can grant him a little bit of grace. But this is the great savior, I think, for this team, like off of these injuries and the expectations. It doesn't all hinge on Moyes, but it's pretty darn close to that. And I think expectations were ratcheted up a little bit because the 11 that they started with, even though we knew it was going to be a wholesale change at halftime, it ended up being a half an hour for Moyes and for Richie Larea. And I thought that Canada's stock rose after the insertion of those two subs and then a couple of tactical tweaks for the second half. And I think Oso coming in looked really bright on that right wing, even though I think Liam Miller and Tejon did some good things in the first half. But I just think the team looked a little bit more cohesive. But back to Moyes, just with his pace and what that duo at the center back position, Derek Cornelius and Moyes Bembido, they are synonymous with this type of Jesse Marsh ball, the way that this team wants to play, aggressive, pacey, dynamic, athletic. It's those two guys, and I would even argue that it's epitomized by Moyes. So to see him limp, like, I think you're downplaying it a little bit, and I think Canada is downplaying it a little bit. But, you know, you haven't played in a really long time. It's normal to be rusty. It's normal, like, he looked like he had a good turn of pace on that recovery. Like, they were exposed, I think, and really open at the back. I think in that first half, they had to sort that out. But Moyes' pace saves it, and he looked good on the one time, but he overruns the ball, right, and kind of, like, falls over. It looks a little bit clumsy. So I think we grant him, as I said, like, a little bit of patience, a little bit of time. He'll get there, even though we don't have very much. But it comes off after half an hour. I don't know if a limp is normal. If you catch a knock, you catch a hamstring, not a hamstring, you catch like a Charlie horse or like a cleat or something, that is normal. That's habitual. That's something that you live just playing the game. But coming off a leg break and a stress fracture to his tibia prior to that tibia break, that concerned me. So I don't know if we dismiss that so easily.
Yeah, I wasn't sure whether he got a knock almost after the play a little bit. I think when Cornelius Miller might have collided with him a little bit.
Yeah.
Cornelius.
That might have been the knock while he was limping a bit. But Yeah. It reminds me of a guy that's had a whole summer off and he's come back for preseason. And he's just a little, you know, just everything, depth perception, pace, reading the game.
Passes. Well, thankfully, you know, he's got a whole preseason to prepare.
Exactly.
But to that,
so
has Derek.
So has DC. Let's go through them.
But even knocks hurt more when you're out, like when you're out of form or not completely fit, right? Even a smash on your leg hurts more. And so I don't know, to Dubs's point, you don't know what it is, mm-hmm. but that can be a thing too, where you're just not used to that. Physicality of the actual match, right? You could do everything else, your bike, your running, your warm-ups, but until you get hit, and we used to always say, hey, let's, you know, I was a kickoff punt returner. I want to catch the ball right away and get hit so I'm in the game right away. And that doesn't always happen in football.
Jimmy, were you worried?
I was worried. Yeah, I really was. That first play where they break and that ball goes over top, and I'm watching Bambito, thinking, okay, he's in full stride now. This is good. We're seeing mm-hmm. his pace. He's back. Now, when the ball goes over top and he catches ground, he goes to shoulder the guy. The guy fakes he's shouldering him. And that's why he ends up stumbling over. You know, when he does that little step back and Bambito goes across, and that's just showing that his timing's off, right? Which is understandable. But then seeing him dragging his leg and limping, that's where I was like, okay, this is concerning. This is not right. This should have been a game where 45 minutes he's got to get through. But you come off after 30. I don't think that was planned. I don't think the plan was Richie, yeah, it was planned 30. But with right. Bambito. No, that was meant to be 45 for me, but for mm-hmm. him to come off and then you're getting iced and then you're walking down into the dressing room, that's an issue for me. I think something's up. Cornelius as well, he wasn't himself, was he, at the back? A couple of I just felt that there was a few players that made the simple things look difficult throughout the match. But that's just everybody trying to get back into the rhythm, trying to get back into the groove. I thought Kone was very, very good in the middle of the park. Covered a lot of ground. He looked like a boss in the middle. Like he kept on drifting back inside. I want the ball. He was driving at defenders. There was a couple of times, yeah, his passing was a little bit off, but he was doing both sides of the ball. He was doing the dirty work and then also trying to drive forward. I thought Ali Johnson was steady. You know what you're going to get. Richie Larea again, steady. I thought Estakio was a little bit quiet in that first half. Mm-hmm. Miller for me was he was a bright spot. He was one that wanted to take his man on every time he was getting on it in the final third. Took a little bit of time for Buchanan to get going as well. And I think it was almost like when I'm watching it, it was Liam drove at his defender a couple times trying to make something happen. It was almost like Buchanan was looking over going, okay, my turn now. Now let mm-hmm. me get at this guy. And then the pairing up top, they just weren't in sync. There was a couple of times that the runs were off and their movement wasn't right. In the first half. The second half, Uzbekistan didn't make any substitutions. We made 9. We had fresh legs coming off the bench. Thought Schwanier and Saliba in the middle of the park were very, very good together. It was a good partnership. Also on the right-hand side he was lively. He was drifting inside a little bit more, trying to play in a little pocket, trying to, you know, pull the defenders into different positions. And that allowed him to get in behind and get his goal reward. But there was, in the second half, I just thought it was a lot better. I thought Ralph Priso did well. Mm-hmm. It was good to see Alfie Jones come out. But the scary thing with Alfie is you play 20 minutes. That was the first 20 minutes in a long time. So, how long are you going to play in the next game?
Yeah.
So you're not going to even have 90 minutes under your belt going into a World Cup, which is quite scary, right? Promise David, I thought he was a handful. He was great to see, wasn't he? What about his celebration when he scored?
I know. Oh. What a shame that that was offside, eh?
Yeah, Jesse, afterwards, Jesse said, we're telling him, you know, don't shoot your left. Don't shoot with your left. Don't, because he hasn't put any kind of, he's done nothing with that left since Rudy. Right? And he goes, of course, he goes left. It's at top bins. It's like, okay, his left's fine.
Nelson was good as well.
Mm-hmm. He was, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
He did his case, you know, made it difficult, saying, look, all right, Flores isn't here, but I'm your next guy to come in. So I think Jesse's got big decisions to make here. And the only thing is, I'm looking at Nelson and going, okay, that was a good performance. That was your time. That was your moment. But I'm looking at the back line and going, okay, well, if Bambino's not ready and Alfie Jones isn't ready, Ralf Priso has to be in this lineup. He's got to be in that 26. He has to be. Now, if Bambino's going to be okay and surprises and all of a sudden against Ireland, he's playing 80 minutes or 60 minutes, then maybe you do look at Nelson as another attack-minded player.
Luke, you kind of got the feeling that with the starting lineup, the first half, compared to the second half, a bunch of players that probably feel as though they're in the starting lineup, don't want to get injured, playing a little bit slower, you know, staying away from contact. And then you bring on some other boys, like Nelson, Priso, Promise.
Even De Fougerol.
Yeah.
Very good.
I thought he was really
right. And these guys are like, they're not out there not to get injured. They're there to make a fucking position.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they look like it.
Yeah.
They look as though they're absolutely like, this is my life depends on this. And good on them. Good on them, because a few of them opened up some eyes, that's for sure.
Well, you think, you know, when you watched our team in the first half, and you guys know, like, psychologically, that'd be playing in my head. I'm going a wet pitch, heavy. We've got two games before World Cup with all this stuff that's going on. And the bad wuju that's going on in this national team.
Did you say wuju?
Wuju.
It works.
It's a famous steak from Japan, right?
Yeah.
But it would be in my head going, do not get injured. Do not get injured. Sure. You just play safe, play simple, get through this, get your fitness. But Uzbekistan, they were not messing around either. Mm-mm. They were quite dirty. They were getting stuck in, and I was like, fucking hell. Like,
couple of late tackles really early on.
Like, was it Kone when he went down and then somebody else went down? I was like,
Tejan.
Come on, fellas.
You know,
get through this, please. And I can imagine Jesse Marsh just cringing every time there was a tackle. Even there was a bad one on a Stekio.
Mm-hmm.
Really bad. Stepped right in his Achilles. I was like, Jesus. So, you know, that plays a part as well. And you guys have been there.
Thinking,
Jesus, get me through this, please.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But if you are a fringe guy, it's not the case, right? It's as important as any other game you've played.
Yeah.
I mean, there's every chance that first match against Bosnia, Luke De Fougerol starting that match.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He looked, by far, he was the most competent looking center back.
Yeah.
And Ralph was playing on the left. But
do you not feel he looked bigger?
Yeah,
stronger.
He looks like bigger, thicker. like stronger, yes, wider, chunkier, like, yeah, he looks in great shape.
Yeah, thicker. He's been eating a lot of Fuji rolls.
Yeah. But that's a great point, because he was really skinny when he came up, right?
Yeah.
Really skinny.
And he's 20. He's 20, right? So like, he can go from looking like a really gangly, almost anemic looking kid to all of a sudden looking like you filled out a little bit and you've got a little bit of strength and kind of bite to you, and I feel like he delivered in the way he performed.
He was.
And can we just say, like, sorry, Sharms? Can we just say that Dubs just invented a new Vachon cake? You know how the Joe Louis, the May West,
au caramel,
the au caramel, and then the Fougerol.
That's right. Yes, it's a take on the wagon wheel. It's the
to take on the wagon. Yes,
Rudy Vachon cake.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but another name that we didn't mention, like, I don't know if I'm distracting. You're going to want to go with the back line, Sharms.
No, I'm going to just sit back and listen.
You go on then.
No, honestly, I'm actually really enjoying this because I'm tired. This is perfect. Oh.
So we start with that 11, which could very well be Jesse Marsh's, aside from the injuries and like the hesitancy. It was a little bit plodding at the beginning, and to Forrest's point, like these guys don't want to get hurt themselves. Like their frame of mind is a little bit kind of not what you want in terms of your mentality and your mindset to start this match. Whereas the guys have something to prove, like that's the way that you should have come at this match. So those two that start up top, and John David and Kyle Larin, we know how much Larin has to prove in a Canada kit, like that he can take that form, that he can bag goals, and that he can combine with David and really be that punch kind of up top. But Taniolo O'Shea, I think that his performance, two assists on the night, that's a nudge for Jesse Marsh as well, talking about providing headaches, whether you're Nelson or Prizo or otherwise, maybe these fringe guys who aren't part of the roster. But Tanny, that performance in itself, I mean, yes, he has to do better, be a little bit more clinical when he has the opportunities, but the way that he combined and connected and kind of linked up and connected that midfield line with the attack line, I thought he will give Jesse Marsh a lot of issues and headaches in terms of his selection.
Yeah, I mean, it did feel, though, that Jesse had his first 11 in that first half.
Yeah.
And they got an Ireland game. Now, we'll see what they do for Ireland. And you got, how long you got after the Ireland game before the thing starts? Like 10 days, whatever. Less than that, 7 days.
You got a week.
Yeah. Yeah. So you want to know. And Tanny did a lot. I mean, Carl didn't do very much, but not a John David. Really quiet.
No, but better in a second half where you had Oso and that profile, like Jimmy said, where he's not like your typical winger. He's not providing the width. You got that more from the overlapping fullback, and he's finding the half space, dropping into that 10. And then you saw John David get involved a little bit more in the second half. So that was interesting to me as well.
Well, it's interesting that we talk about the right-hand side and the lack of depth after Tejan, and they didn't bring Junior Hoyle. But none of us ever really kind of thought, well, there's Ozo. He can play right. And he can, clearly.
Yeah, but that's a substitution. That's maybe a tweak. That's not what you're...
Oh, no, not starting. I know, but I'm just saying, as far as what is the depth order after Tejan, he's there. And he's also on the left. And he's also... That's why he's on the squad, right? He's so versatile. And he just won't hurt you.
90th cap.
Yeah.
It's tremendous.
You kind of knew when you got that board, his foot, you know, he's going to score here. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot from that position. Goalkeeping, Craig. Matt Dane didn't lose it by his performance. He wasn't very busy, but Max may have won it.
Max played really well. It's amazing when he puts that Canada jersey on. Jesus, there's something that switches, because the guy is just bang on every time he plays for Canada. You just can't get around it. It kind of he probably felt like he was playing for Orlando with the amount of work he had to do. That's concerning. You don't want to be giving up chances like that. Against Bosnia, you're 2-0 down at halftime if you play like that.
But that happens often. You know, we keep talking about, that's the biggest concern with that press. Defenders are left isolated 1v1, which I'm fine with, because if you can't defend 1v1, you're not a defender, in my opinion. Right? So you got to be able to take those strikers and mark them. And I think with the pace of Bambita when he's fit, and Cornelius, they don't have much trouble with that. But I think if you're slower, that's where we're going to be exposed at the back.
Yeah. Well, I think Dubs touched on that as far as the way we want to play, the way Jesse Marsh wants to play. Those guys are so important because of the pace, getting themselves out of trouble. Yeah. You need them fresh. You need them healthy. You need them match fit, you know. And this is where it falls back on what you said, Jimmy. It's like Jesse's got some big decisions to make. Yeah. He's going to live and die by them. And it's not going to be easy.
How about this? How about we build our 11 for Bosnia? Just what we've seen so far, what we expect to see, our concerns with certain players and the rust or their lack of match fitness. Let's build an 11, okay?
Okay.
Let's start in goal.
Is everybody fit?
Yeah.
No. Right now. I think we know what the 11 is when everyone's fit, but they won't be fit, right? So this is right now, like where you anticipate this squad to be by June the 12th, from what you've seen so far.
Bing.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do you think Jesse Marsh will do? Okay, so let's start in goal. Craig, let's give Craig this one. Is it Max or is it Dane?
Max Grapel.
I agree.
Which is, I think, is a bit of a surprise if you look at the last year, isn't it?
Yeah.
But no one's going to debate it.
Yeah. Yeah, no, going by what we think Jesse Marsh is, you know, what he's talked about, the way he's picked the lineup, I think, like the profile of Dane Sinclair. Max isn't the biggest lad in the world, but when he's in Canada's net, he plays like a monster.
Yeah.
Does anyone disagree?
No.
No? So Max has the gloves. Not that I think this whole thing about must name in number one. Really, do you have to? Do you? Really? Until match day and you have your team sheet? I mean, Jesus.
You never had anyway. To, but he set the terms. Jesse Marsh set the terms.
No, I know. Yeah, exactly. But we thought by now he would have set the terms and we'd know.
Yeah.
Anyway, Max is our goalkeeper for Bosnia. Okay, right back. Dubs.
Alistair.
Anyone disagree with that?
Nope.
Nico came in, looked quite good actually, played both sides.
He did, yeah.
Nice option to have. So Nico Sigur is at right back. Center half.
No, Alistair's our right back.
Oh, sorry, Alistair is. Yeah. Center half. Jimmy, who's
why are you ignoring me?
So are you having a seizure? Are you having a grand mal right now, Charles?
A petit mal, I think.
Petit mal.
Grand mal, you'd know about it.
That's right. Okay.
Be a lot of bacon sizzling.
Right, so I want to say Bombito, but I don't know if he's going to be ready. And if he's not, then it's going to be Luke.
Okay. It's the first controversial selection for Bosnia down to health of the would-be starter. So we've got Luke de Fougerol, right-sided centre-back. Okay, who's going to be his partner in crime there, Craig?
Cornelius.
Yep.
You agree DC gets in there despite a bit, not shaky, but a bit of a rusty performance.
Yeah.
He has to start.
I think he'll be able to shed that quite quickly because that's not an injury. That's just rhythm. That's just getting his feet underneath him. Yeah. Needs more reps, and he'll get that in training, and then he'll get that versus Ireland. So I'm not worried about DC.
And as much as, you know, you want to see Bombito in there because we know how good he is, de Fougerol, I think, won a lot of supporters last night. And DC and de Fougerol, I'm fine with that. Yeah. That's good. Okay, mm-hmm. Left back.
Richie
showed enough, did he? Like,
yeah, all
day. He didn't play 30 minutes, right? So he's got to, and Richie will get match fitness, right, Craig? That's what he does. He's one of those freaky people.
No, he'll be fine, I think. But no, Richie, left back for me as well.
Mm-hmm. And even if you have to manage him, like if he can give you 60 minutes, you go with Richie, and then you put in Nico Sigur. I think.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So there's your back four for Bosnia. We have on the right-hand side, we have Alistair Johnston, we have Luke de Fougerol, we have Derek Cornelius, and we have Richie Larea. Okay, right wing. It's pretty straightforward, right? It's
Buchanan.
Yeah, Tajan Buchanan.
Yeah.
Okay. Center halves. This is the easy one, right? This is and Kone and Eustachio. Mm-hmm. Anyone debate that? Yeah, it's pretty straightforward. Left-hand side, it has to be Leah Miller, presumably.
Yeah.
I would think so. If Ali Ahmed wasn't ready to even participate versus Uzbekistan, nor Jacob Schaffelberg, I think it's absolutely Leah Miller.
And pace and, like, sorry, I'm just thinking fitness. He's just gone through getting into – he's played at the highest level he could have. Right. And that is huge because we always talk about match fitness and getting ready and preparation. He's probably the most prepared guy right now. One of them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Probably is.
High flying. And you saw his like the back press, like chasing down players, much the way he prevented the goal versus Tunisia.
Yeah.
Right. You had another one that resembled that. So Jesse Marsh has got to love that.
Confidence, too. Like, hey, you're going to the World Cup. You're playing in the Prem. Why not be the star of Canada's national team?
Yeah.
He's in a good place.
Yes. Yeah. Might have to get his hair redid. That's all. For the World Cup. That's all.
Miller's stock might grow the most this World Cup, you know.
Within
the Canadian fan base.
Dark horse. We didn't mention Liam Miller. Just saying.
Within the fan base, you said, Sharms, not worldwide?
Maybe worldwide, yeah. But certainly within the fan base, because people, they don't dismiss him, but he's not a sharpied in starter. Because there's so much depth on that left-hand side. And if Funzie was healthy, maybe he'd be Funzie in that position. Ali's been kind of the golden boy the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Right, prior to him, it was Schaff. Then Liam got hurt. He's kind of this, like a dark horse, this guy that's kind of come, oh yeah, this guy, he is really good, isn't he?
An English centaur.
Oh, Jesus.
Centaur.
An English centaur, what would be the body though? It wouldn't be a, horse.
Goat.
Yeah. The goats or something, yeah.
Billy.
Billy.
Chicken Balti. Chicken Balti is what it is.
It's a pie?
Yeah.
Not much mobility. Okay, and up top, where are we starting? So obviously John David's there. Who's puntering? Is it, did Tenney do enough? Did Carl not do enough? Or should we not base everything on 45 minutes against Uzbekistan before the World Cup? Greg, who's starting beside John David?
Man. You know, that's a tough one, you know. It is. Tanny, dangerous, sometimes frustrating a little bit, not great with his finishing. He needs to be more clinical, like Dub said. Then you got Promise that is a handful. Yeah. I don't know. I think I would go David and Tanny.
Really?
I agree. I think Ireland will tell us a little bit more about how Jesse Marsh is making that decision. But if he's basing it off of a half each, I'm giving the edge to Tanny.
But you can't be, though, can you? You can't be basing this massive decision.
No, you just gave us the parameters of this.
That's why I said where we are right now.
I asked a question.
You just changed it, though.
I didn't at all. No, I didn't. I said, can you base it on 45 minutes or whatever it was?
Well, you got to base it on something.
Well, Carl's recent form. Jimmy, what would you go?
To start, Laren. Let's start with Laren.
Our first bone of contention here.
It's good.
And then knowing that I had Promise or Tanny to come off the bench, more than likely I'd put Promise on before. Tanny.
Okay. So put yourself in those coaching meetings, right? I want you guys to debate. Jimmy's got Kyle. You other two, you have Tanny. Start debating. Craig, start. So tell Jimmy he's wrong and why it's got to be Tanny.
Jimmy's got to jump, though, just so everybody knows.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's no good. That debate.
Sucks.
You start the subject. Once again. Petit mild seizure.
I guess it's Tanny.
Bye, Tanny's, Jimmy. Good job on the panel. Thanks for letting us know you're on. Bye.
We had this conversation many a times.
He did. I knew he was on.
Promote yourself. Hey, guys, catch me tonight on TSN.
No.
He should.
You guys
know. Jimmy.
Jimmy needs a social media manager.
It wouldn't even work. He wouldn't work because he wouldn't tell anybody. He'd be like, hey, I'm hiring a social media manager. Okay, can you give me your schedule and your calendar, Jimmy? Can you let me into that? And they'd be like, okay, so nothing going on today. Jimmy'd be on TSN national broadcast, a CBC interview, hosting something for TFC. You just did five things. Yeah, sorry about that. I'll tell you next time. Same thing.
Radio silence.
Mr. Brennan. You played against a Brazil 11 last night.
You were hanging out with Ronaldinho. On your birthday.
They sang, hey, happy birthday to you. Yes.
Oh, yeah,
yes,
I forgot to mention that.
Right. Nothing to promote.
He is the worst self-promoter I've ever known.
It drives me crazy.
Okay, so I'll step into the shoes of Jimmy here. And you guys will just dismantle any kind of argument I have. So you've got to score goals. This team, up until Uzbekistan, doesn't score goals, especially from open play, that there's a real problem there. You know, yeah, they can defend. Yeah, they can press. They're good in the transition. Got great pace. Cannot score goals. We have Carl Laren, who's been the most informed striker down the stretch for his club. And we have Tanny, who is a great hard worker, does all the little things really well, a good playmaker per se, but not a goal scorer. So we've got to go, Kyle. We're going to go with the in-form goal scorer. That's the reason why he gets the nod and more experience beside John David than Tanny Olorosha.
Charms, it's a good argument. Like, I'm not bashing
it
you.
It is
at
a
all.
Good argument.
Yeah.
It's Jimmy's argument. It's not mine, just to say.
No. Would you be accountable? Don't play that role. I play a doctor on television.
Jimmy's also got some political opinions. I'm going to get to that.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, please don't get into those.
So, debate. Tell me I'm wrong.
Well, I don't think you're wrong.
Oh, God.
I don't think you're wrong. I just thought that Tanny just offered a little bit more energy, you know, move, getting around the pitch, doing some grunt work a little bit more than Kyle. Other than that, both of them do struggle in front of the net. They're not prolific for any stretch. Mm-hmm. And we looked average going forward at times, which is a bit of a worry considering we were so dangerous a year or two ago.
Yeah, it's like the individuals who are part of that 11, even if it's Jesse Marsh's preferred 11, which I will say it was. Mm. The individuals working their way back to full fitness from injuries or just haven't played in a little while, that lack of rhythm kind of got inserted into the collective narrative. It looked very plodding. It looked very disjointed. You had, you know, the little moments, whether it was brilliance, Kone driving space, Miller on the left, and like Jimmy said, kind of waking Tejan up from his slumber, like getting him into the game, saying like, hey, wait a minute, like I want to participate in a little bit of this attacking fluency myself on the right-hand side. But there wasn't a whole lot happening. A little bit of combination play, maybe. And then there was that one moment where Liam had tucked inside and tried a couple of crosses on his right, and he went down on his left and he drove it right across the face of goal, remember? And there was the intervention from the Uzbekistan defender just before it reached Larin. So if that connects and it's just a side foot, it's in the back of the net, we're not talking about Tanny potentially unseating Kyle Larin. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I think he did enough to vault himself into that conversation. But Jesse Marsh, for as much as we want to talk about the fact that this playing style is innovative and he's charismatic and he's dynamic, he's also fucking predictable. Like, he likes his guys. Mm-hmm. He trusts his guys, and it's going to take a whole heck of a lot to change his mind.
He's
open to it, but like, he is predictable, and that is good and bad from a player perspective.
And that's coming from the 100%er. Dubs called the starting lineup for the roster reveal. Everyone knows who we're dealing with here.
Yeah, but like, not because I'm particularly good at predicting this stuff.
Yes, you are.
I'm thinking about how Jesse Marsh, like his MO over the last 2 years. Who does he go to when this team is, you know, has their backs up against the wall? That it's 11. True.
There haven't been that many surprises when we see the 11s come out for these matches, have there?
Yeah.
Which is fine. Absolutely fine. It works for him.
But I guess the question
depth
is,
for Canada, there's improved depth, but it's not as if there's so much depth that he can surprise us with a selection here and there.
So Tanny wouldn't be a surprise?
No.
Or would he? That's, no, I guess, to the debate.
There's an argument to be made, Wonga, that it's Kyle's job to win it.
To lose.
Off Tanny.
Oh, to win it or to lose it?
To win it off Tanny. Because over the last year, Tanny's had, I think, has had more, I'm pretty sure he's had more minutes beside John David than Kyle has.
Mm-hmm.
There was a time, remember, we debated should Kyle even be on this squad.
Yeah.
This form.
No, for sure.
Not that long ago.
Not long ago, but he silenced those critics emphatically.
So, yeah, goal against Ireland. If Kyle put a goal against Ireland in Montreal, then I think he will, once we'll do a flip-flop and James Sharman, who is in the corner starting this debate, will have won. I think Kyle just needs to pot one in this exhibition for us to say, oh, he'll be up there with John David. That's all.
Mm-hmm. I'll tell you this for free. If Tanny assists that goal.
I don't know.
If Tanny assists that goal. then Jesse's got thing on his problem on his mic.
Coffee machine goes off.
This is very good, Jimmy. Yeah. Somebody moving in the background. Stella That's talking right. to him.
Ruffling. Yeah. He's doing his taxes at the same
going
time.
Going up the stairs and behind him. This podcast setup. The main room in the house.
Oh, yeah. Do you know, I mean, how important, though, what do you really expect to get from the Ireland match? I mean, these pre-World Cup friendlies, so to speak, warm-up games, they're all bullshit. Any team, you like, you just want to get through them. You're trying things out. Yeah, there's certain players you need minutes, especially in Canada's case. Mm-hmm. But isn't he going to get more from training than from these matches, Craig?
I don't know. Huh.
Well, I don't know. I think you need these matches. You do. Yeah. It'll be interesting how he plays because he in the first half, I mean, I think they're it's not what we're going to see against Bosnia. I think they're going to, like, they didn't press like they did, you know, when we saw them in the Copa America and how they just put teams under incredible amounts of pressure. We didn't see that. They kind of sat back or let them have their third of the pitch before they even started putting pressure on. It just seemed very almost pedestrian at times, and I don't think that's the way they'll play against Bosnia. Mm-hmm. Might be wrong.
Do we think another reason why Laren might start is the aerial battles? Mm-hmm. Is Laren better in the air than Tanny?
I don't know if he's better.
Yeah.
He is? Yeah.
He's kind of bigger, more robust body, though.
Tanny's tall, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Defensively, too, when you're looking at that against a profile like Bosnia.
And experience, right?
Yeah.
At World Cups.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that defensive transition, like those moments, and to your point, Forrest, about not putting pressure, was also closing down individually. Like Jimmy talked about the 1v1 battles, but we were open because you saw a lack of communication and understanding, I think, between Cornelius and Bombido, and they were getting pulled out of that back line so easily, leaving gaping hole in the back. But that's also about the pressure on the ball. So Oser talked about that in his post-game presser. Like, they have to clean that up. Yes, you are putting yourself at risk because you play higher. Your line is higher just as a result, as like your baseline when you're playing this type of style. But the pressure on the ball and also your counter-pressing has to be on point. And it was not that in the first half.
No, exactly. And that's why I just think that it's a completely different – it will be a completely different – approach to the Bosnia game than we saw last night. I don't think you can get anything from that game last night.
From that, there's a couple of things I was wondering. If you two were scouting Canada, which Bosnia would be doing right now, which Switzerland, they'd all be watching either the match, or what would you say we would, let's say I'm Bosnia, what are you saying to your team? How are you What are your tactics against Canada?
Be patient and build up. Be careful with the press. They're going to give you chances. They're rusty. They've got a problem in the back line, and you will get opportunities.
W?
No, I think that's a fairly good assessment. And I think what we'll get versus Ireland, even though they've brought, according to reports, a very young squad, is going to replicate more about what Canada will face versus Bosnia than Uzbekistan offered. But you get a little bit of familiarity because you're playing teams from similar like conferences. Like Uzbekistan gives you like that Asian kind of conference look, and then Ireland gives you that European look. But yeah, I think they're looking at that as Forrest said, and like this is a team that you can pick apart. If you're, you're precise, you pick your spots and you're clinical. Because it versus a better team, as Forrest said, like that's 2-0 down in that first half.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask, can I tell you guys what I took away from the game? The Oso celebration.
Please.
The Oso celebration compared to the promised callback celebration. I fucking love Promise David's celebration. It was nutty. It was enthusiastic. And there was a running back in the NFL who's probably one of the best running back of all time, Barry Sanders. And his dad said, every time you score a touchdown, treat it like you've been there before. Fuck that.
Yeah.
I loved Promise David. I love when he does this shit because Oso did treat it like you were there before. I get it.
He has been there before. Yeah, 89 other times. Maybe not goals, but you know,
he didn't think he'd be there at all, right?
He doubted he'd be there at all. It showed, you know, there's that enthusiasm versus the maturity. And I have to tell you, just seeing the enthusiasm for me was amazing. And the other big thing for me, the big takeaway is this morning that Craig Forrest has gone out of his way. You guys can't see it if you're listening to the pod. There's a Canadian jersey. He's really upped his set.
It's been this way the last few shows.
Oh, I haven't even noticed.
Oh, yeah. I've kept it quiet.
See, you didn't even notice.
Craig's buying in. Really dressed up the set.
He just leaves it there, right? He just sits in there. Hey, I've done it.
Christ, yeah, it's actually always there. It's actually sewn into the couch.
It's a couch cushion.
Is she back from England yet?
What?
Is Cheyenne back from England or is she still out?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Okay. She's like, Dad, why are you using game-worn shirts that haven't been laundered in 30 years?
I know. There's a stench.
It's like a throw. That's the throw over at the Forrest household.
Yeah.
Warm up with it.
So, Shambi, tell us what you're about today. You're still in Edmonton.
Yeah, I'm leaving in about 3 hours for Montreal, and then we're getting set for the Ireland game on... Is that Saturday, the Ireland game?
Friday.
Oh, is it Friday? Okay.
Yeah. Your name is James.
I can't handle the week of this right now.
You're coming to see me.
Yeah.
What's that? I know, that's right. Hey, Dubsy, are you going to be joining me post-match?
I think so. I'm doing something with you on Friday. Yeah.
Amazing.
That's right.
That's our first time on Sportsnet together, me and Dubsy.
I know.
Oh, exciting.
Very exciting.
That's great.
This is called self-promotion, Jimmy.
It is. That's right.
I'm going to wear a Canada shirt and a red Canada cap. Imagine. I just show up. I'm sure I'm just a doppelganger.
No, wear it like a Walsh, your Walsh shirt.
Oh, yeah.
Do that.
Whenever it's over.
Let's do the opposite. Dubsy and Shams on Pretty Prime and like be really like combative and like clearly dislike each other. Let's do that. Like, let's try something different.
Yeah, Faisal will be like, what the fuck's going on here?
what's happening?
Can she not come back?
Are you guys doing a bit? You gotta do a bit on Sportsnet. That would kill me.
Why does she have a puppet? Is she a ventriloquist?
Sharms is wearing shorts. Why do I want to see legs like that?
I did bring shorts, actually.
They're pronounced jorts.
Yes.
Actually, Sportsnet provided shorts. So I could wear shorts if the weather's nice.
Stop it. Wow. What kind of shorts?
Though they're nice shorts.
Branded? Oh,
well, I'll believe it when I see them.
They're Hugo Boss shorts.
Have you tried them on yet?
Yeah, I bet you don't look like a boss in them.
So I should try them on.
You go.
Boss. You go back to the store and get a different pair.
They are awful on you. They look terrible.
Did I ever tell you guys, the story with the national team, the first time we got like travel wear, we used to travel in tracksuits, which by the way, I loved Fonzie's tracksuit. And when he did the coin toss.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Okay. Fonzie there jogging. Great to see. But it reminded me of like U20s, like late 90s, like kind of baggy pants with the elastics and the color blocking. It was very throwback, very big fan. But with the national team, we found money somewhere in like the early 2000s and they got us awful suits that had like the zipper on the side, super high waisted before it was fashionable. And then just a bunch of material. We had tailors who worked on it. And there was like space at the front. We're all super fit athletes for like a paunch or like a, what do you call it again? Like a gunt, you know, like that lower belly fat. And we're like, what are we meant to do with all this material? They were so unbecoming.
Really?
They lasted maybe 6 months.
They would design track pants to accommodate gunts.
Or cocks.
Or gocks.
Gox.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the leadership group revolted. We're like, we're not wearing these. We looked horrible.
Excessive labias. A quickly,
by the way, very
quickly packed suitcase.
Sorry, I know you've got to go, but very quickly, the Fonzie thing, you know, we'll talk about it in the days to come, but I wasn't left with great optimism following the press conference regarding his availability at all. You know, Fonzie kind of danced around it. We're going to see where I'm at in the next couple of days, you know, take it day by day. Basically, we're going to see. And then Jesse said, yeah, listen, part of our motivation for this World Cup is to go as far as possible, partly so we can get Fonzie into this World Cup.
Yeah.
That to me, I don't know if we're going to see him.
Do you even, but the bigger question is, does it affect your, you know, you guys were talking about the back line. If Bombido is 80% and Fonzie can't go till round eight, like round of 16 or round of eight, then do you just say, Fonzie, I'm sorry, you're not dressing. You're not on the squad. You can come with us or sit in the stand. Like, it changes all of those, all that calculus, right?
I don't think it does, especially with the 26-player roster. Fonzie is always in.
Yeah, no, he's in. If for nothing else, gamesmanship for selections.
Okay.
You kind of tease, you know, because he is the one player who other teams will actually fear. Right? Mm-hmm. I really believe that. He's got that presence that no one else has.
Yeah, so if you keep that
in the back
spot
of these coaches' minds, this guy might be available off the bench even. Or like we're going to be, and then even if he's not available, have that little, he definitely obviously takes up a roster spot, but I don't know. And we won't have, we'll address it after the World Cup if that's the case and all these injuries, right? But if we look back, I don't want to be too negative here, but what the hell is me? If we look back in this World Cup and say, you know, it was a bit disappointing, but Fonzie didn't play, Moyes, you know, didn't get into the third game, blah, 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 blah. I mean, my God, what a disappointing World Cup. What an unfortunate World Cup. But we're not there yet, so let's not go there, okay?
I think you still have depth, even if it's like plan B or plan C in terms of who you're deploying, where it's not top of the line talent, but it's still way more than serviceable.
Oh, no,
but I think to your point about Fonzie, where the forecast for it, like I think not that they're hiding anything or they're being cagey, but I think realistically he doesn't play any of the group stages. Like I think he's group games. I think he's round of 32 at the very earliest. So yes, 100% is motivation. Yeah, he has done. But I think it also might influence who he chooses as the replacement for Flores. I think it's less and less likely that it's going to be an attacking minded player.
Yeah. I think Ralph Prizzo should be pretty happy right now or feeling good.
And he did great.
The fact that he went to left back and they didn't use Bissong yesterday tells me that Bissong, okay, let's now put an X beside Bissong's name as a potential replacement because that was considered. He's not coming.
Yeah.
But Ralph Prizzo's got me right there thinking, man, I might be at the World Cup.
Jimmy and Asa want Ralph Prizzo there.
Asa just wants any white cap available.
Yeah, he does. He wants Mueller. I hear they're going to win the World Cup. Mueller's going to win the World Cup.
Okay, I got to go. Broads.
Yeah, we all got to go. Okay. We've been trying to.
You're like 57 minutes left. It's on my hat. I'm like, we got
five. I wanted you to go with 10 minutes left, and then Dubs keeps bringing some stuff up.
Oh, it's me.
Oh, I got to go. You.
Yeah.
There we go. Okay. Sorry. I don't know. That's weird. I don't know why I use it for some reason. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. BetMGM.
Your mic just went.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. How about that?
Unlike your mic.
Follow us, give us comments, etc., etc., and we'll chat to you later. Bye.
Footy Prime is brought to you by BetMGM. Make it legendary. Check us out on YouTube at youtube.com/footyprime and subscribe. Leave us some comments. We'd love to hear those. And check us out on Instagram at footyprimeig and on Twitter at footy_prime. And check out wearefootyprime.com. Sign up for our newsletter.